Well, this morning, when I brought the little video clip in of our boys that are over in Hawaii, and it is kind of funny. Margaret went to school in Windy, Saskatchewan. I went to ice cold Edmonton for Bible school, and Thomas, our son, decides he's going to go to Hawaii. And I don't know why we didn't think of that. What were we thinking? I kind of racked my brain on that one. No, I want to be in the cold Edmonton instead of off in Hawaii. But I am grateful, actually, for just for them to be able to put that little video clip together. I know Yvonne hasn't. Boys typically, I won't just single out Yvonne, but boys typically aren't that good at communicating back, sending pictures, that kind of stuff. So it was sort of nice, I think, for all of us parents to be able to see our kids a little bit and see if they needed haircuts or things like that. Visual lets us give a quick assessment of them. So, well, we are in part four of a series entitled Church Life, and part of church life is what we did this morning. It's in giving thanks, and it isn't just a once in a while kind of a thing, but it's more of an attitude of the heart, and that's what we're going to look at a little bit this morning. Our text is going to be 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 and 17. And we want to think about how God really does, our faith in the Lord really does give us a reason to give thanks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this morning because we can. And Father, there are so many good things that you bring towards us, even amid some of the struggles of life. Lord, there are these shining lights that just cause us to stop and to give thanks. And Lord, this morning, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, Lord, have us be mindful of even those smallest of things that we can turn our eyes to you and give you thanks for. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, the Bible speaks often about having a thankful heart, giving thanks or showing thanks. And our scripture this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 18 is one of those places that I want to unpack for us a little bit this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can open up to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's speaking to the church in Thessalonica, and he's saying this to them. He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now, those are amazing words, and you really actually have to stop and unpack that. And there are actually three things that are afoot here. There's more, but I'm going to focus on three things this morning that Paul is setting out as a foundation for our Christian practice in the Christian life. And the first one, obviously, the first one is rejoice. He says, rejoice always. You know, rejoicing is another way to rate how you are enjoying something. So rejoicing really is kind of that little meter that says how much you are enjoying something. And when we say rejoice, rejoice is different than happy, isn't it? We can be happy, but our face doesn't necessarily show it. We can be happy and our arms aren't moving, nothing's happening. We can be happy and others aren't going to be able to tell. But rejoicing is different than just being happy. Being happy, you're able to do that alone without very much movement even. But rejoicing, now just think about that because we tend to text a little bit. So if you were to write rejoicing in all capital letters, all right, that's major. Now you've texted, you're really rejoicing. Rejoicing is something that happens actually with a whole body. It's like when that friend of yours tells you that really good clean joke and you can't catch your breath because you're laughing so hard. That's what rejoicing is. You think of that experience. You might not remember the joke, but you remember the experience of just laughing. Have you ever had that where your abs are sore afterwards? You've laughed so hard. If you haven't had a good, we call that a belly laugh. If you haven't had a good belly laugh, you got to make better friends because they should tell you better jokes that you should be able to have a good belly laugh. You want to laugh hard. That's rejoicing. That is a rejoicing kind of enjoyment that Paul is talking about here. So Paul says to believers, he's speaking to the church, that the church should rejoice because of what Jesus has done for us. There should be a rejoicing that just wells up that we can't contain. It's like that heartfelt belly laugh that says, God loves me. And because God loves me, he saved me from my sin, I don't have to fear things in life. I can walk forward with confidence. That's that rejoicing that Paul is talking about. Well, secondly, Paul is also talking about prayer, and he says, pray without ceasing. And another foundational component of the Christian life is prayer. And I think about prayer oftentimes as a life preserver. It reminds us that we're not alone in life. It reminds us that God walks with us, that he cares for us, that he holds us up when we don't have enough strength on our own. And that's really the work of the life preserver. We can flail around in the water, but then when we realize we have that life preserver on, we can stop all that motion, all that flapping, and just rest. And lo and behold, we're not drowning. Our head is above water. And so prayer is like that. And Paul says, pray without ceasing. And praying without ceasing is another way to remind us consistently that we need to depend on God for all things, that God really does hold our heads above water. And then Paul says, in everything give thanks. And this is where I want to spend a little bit of time and unpack this a little bit this morning for us. He says, in everything give thanks. Now, why would Paul say, in everything give thanks? Well, first of all, it is easy to give thanks, like Paul says, right? It's kind of easy. We just give thanks all the time, don't we? When we're driving down that road and that guy cuts us off, oh, we give thanks. We give thanks. We even wave. That's all right. I'm going to slow down so you can get in that space that was in front of me that I was saving just in case I needed it. But you go ahead and have it. So it's easy to give thanks, isn't it? Not so much. Not always. In fact, in the wake of some of the tragedies that happen in our world, it's sort of hard to find spots to give thanks. You know, the mass shooting that just happened in the States, the terror attack or the attack in Edmonton, that's kind of close to home. And so we think about these things and we go, well, there's not much to give thanks for in those things. You know, there's not much thanks to be found when calamity comes into our own lives, when we've been laid off work, or when you've received a failing grade in school, or when someone that you trusted breaks a friendship, or when a spouse says that they want a divorce, or when you've been told that you have a terminal illness, how do you find a place in there to give thanks? Yet we are given this instruction from Paul that yes, we are in fact to give thanks. But Paul doesn't say give thanks for everything. He doesn't say give thanks for everything. In fact, we never give thanks for tragedy or loss or misfortune. We are never glad when we see evil abound in our world or around us. We don't give thanks for these things, but what we can do is give thanks in these things. And that's an important thing to pay attention to, because this is what so many people get wrong in the world. People will say, why does God allow that stuff to happen? And it's not so much how it happens, because sin abounds in our world, so sin promotes the sinful nature and bad things happen in our world. But what often happens is that people misquote the scripture and they get it wrong. They say that we have to give thanks for all things. So we're supposed to somehow give thanks for these tragedies or misfortunes, and that's not what the scripture is saying. What the scripture is saying is that in the midst of whatever life brings your way, if we look for where God is at work, we will find cause to give thanks. The key here is in the midst of whatever life brings our way. If we look for God, he will be at work. And see, that's what Paul is telling us. He's not saying give thanks for calamity. He's saying when you're going through the calamity, look for those things because God is there. He doesn't leave us. He promises never to leave us or forsake us. So in the midst, we can still give thanks to God. Well, what does thanks, what does giving thanks do? Why does Paul kind of urge us, tell us, as believers, that this is something that a believer ought to have as part of their attitude? Well, for a believer, giving thanks really does change everything. First of all, giving thanks honors God by affirming his sovereignty. Sovereignty refers to the absolute authority of God over all things. So as believers, we believe that God has absolute authority over all things. And a thankful heart says to God, even though I may not understand my circumstances, even though I might not agree with God, what's going on around me, or I might not even like what's happening in my life or in the surrounding things that are happening, even they might be hard to find a place to give thanks, but I am able to give thanks despite what comes because I trust that God is in control. So that's what sovereignty, that's what honoring God's sovereignty says. It says that even though we don't understand it all, we can still come before God and say, God, we know you've got this. We know that you hold the world in the palm of your hand. We know you've got this. And even though bad things happen to good people, and even though evil is at work to destroy faith in God and to fuel that sinful nature of man, God is truly over all things in this world. And that's when we give thanks, we honor God. We say, God, you've got this. That might be happening, but you've got this. Even in the midst of these of turmoil, you've got this. That's why Psalms 24:1 says this, "The earth is the Lord and everything in it, the world and all who live." That's it's a placing of all of the responsibility, all of the ongoings, all of the actions of the world in God's hand. God knows what is happening in the world. He has it. Who is he? Verse 10 says, "Who is he? The King of glory, the Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory." So sovereignty means that God has absolute power and authority over all the affairs of the universe. And as believers, we trust that God is the absolute authority over all things. So giving thanks then to God honors God. Well, secondly, giving thanks changes us. Giving thanks honors God, but it also changes us. Let me explain. When we give thanks to God, faith begins to build in our hearts. And piece by piece, as we trust God, as we give thanks to him, the burdens of our heart become lighter and lighter and lighter. Isn't that something? When you can give thanks to God, all of a sudden these burdens, even the burden that we might be in, if we can give thanks to God in the midst of all of that, that burden gets lighter and lighter and lighter. And actually, it's a progressive thing. As we continue to give thanks, those burdens around us get lighter. And we begin to realize that we don't have to take all of these burdens of the world, all of these things on our own shoulders, that we don't have to carry all the burdens of the world because those are really God's to carry. And sometimes we do that, don't we? We take on the burdens of the world. We get ourselves tied in knots. I don't know about you, but watching the news isn't always a great thing for me because I'll get all tied up in knots of just the haywire world we live in. And you go, why do I even watch the news? I'd be better without it. But even in the midst of all of those things that are going on, we can find places to give thanks. And it's a real shift. We can give thanks because we know that God has these things in the palm of his hands, and it lightens the burden. So when we can give thanks, even in the midst of a trial, our burden becomes lighter. Yes, this is all happening, but God, I know this is where you're at. I know that I can trust you. I give thanks to you because you are faithful. I give thanks to you because you promised to never leave me or forsake me. I can give thanks to you, Lord, because you have me in the palm of your hand. You know how I react and respond, and Lord, I know you forgive me. And all of these things we can begin to say. And as we say those things to God, our burden gets lighter. And it's a shifting. of the way we think. And so how often do we find ourselves in life fretting over the things that we don't have control over? It's quite often, isn't it? Worry actually has no value in life except to add stress. It actually has no worry. Well, there is, actually that's wrong. There is a good worry. And the good worry is, so if you're chopping with an axe and you worry about where your hand is, that's probably a good thing for your own preservation. But worry that just rattles around in our minds and we worry about these things that we have no control over. Those things are called burdens. And they just add stress. Worry burdens us down. But the Lord says that he doesn't want us to carry a load of burden in our life. In fact, that's what Jesus says in Matthew's gospel. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that refreshing that giving thanks in the midst of a storm reminds us that God is in control? And when we're reminded that God is in control, that builds our faith and our confidence that God really has this. So how do we develop thankful hearts? How do we develop thankful hearts? Let me suggest two ways we can do that. The first way is to turn your complaints into reasons to give thanks. Turn your complaints into reasons to give thanks. Anybody complain this past week? There's a couple of us honest ones. You know what? We have an opportunity when we have those complaints on our hearts, we have an opportunity as well to give thanks. Doesn't mean we can't complain, we can't grumble, but it means that in the midst of that, we can actually turn some of those things around and give thanks. I know a fellow who is stopped at a red light, and this is in the wintertime up in Edmonton. It's always cold, the roads are always icy in Edmonton. And he stopped at a red light and he saw this car. It was one of those great big old Impalas, the mid-80s ones. You know, the headlights were like a quarter mile apart. They're the big beasts on the road. And so he saw this thing coming along, and he wasn't driving that aged of a car, so his was a little smaller. And this car, you can tell when you look out your rearview mirror if somebody is coming very quickly, and this car was coming quickly. And it was a red light, and then all of a sudden he's watching, because he goes, oh boy, I don't feel good about this. And all of a sudden the car, you can see the headlights pointing this way and the headlights pointing that way. And he sees it coming up behind him, and he knows that there's traffic going right in front of his red light. And he just, his mind is just going a million miles an hour. And his thoughts were racing about the carnage that was going to follow. For sure, this car was going to hit him. It was going to eject him into the traffic. He was going to get hit from both sides. He had this all figured out in his mind of the calamity that was to come. And instantly, he was angry because he also thought those people weren't paying attention to the road conditions. Didn't they see the red light? I bet you they're not even experienced drivers, right? So then they get up a little bit closer, and lo and behold, it's a group of, and it's a true story, it's a group of little girls. And these young ladies are in this car, and they're all screaming and yelling. You can see it from their, you know, that look on their faces. And here he was. He was angry, and now these are new drivers, inexperienced drivers, and because of their inexperience, I'm going to get shot out into traffic, and I'll be in traction in the hospital for 6 months before I can walk again. And then all of a sudden, the car comes to a stop behind him. Well, after you go through all of that workup, he was mad. And he saw the little girl sitting in there, and he was even more mad. And he pulls out, light turns green, he pulls out, he drives away. He was fuming that how dare they? They shouldn't be giving licenses and all this kind of stuff. He was fuming. He was mad as a result of his own making. But then he began to counter that. He countered that by giving thanks. And he said things like this. He shared these with him. He said, Lord, thanks that I get to go home to see my wife. Thanks, Lord, that no accident happened. Nobody else was involved. Thanks, Lord, that those young ladies were probably as scared as I was. And Lord, help them to learn from that experience on how to drive on the roads so that they don't cause an accident. You know, our complaints in life are always a prime opportunity for us to give thanks, to find, even in the midst of all of that, to find a place to give thanks. Well, we can turn our complaints into reasons to give thanks. That's one way we can develop thankful hearts. Well, a second way is to start your day by giving thanks for things that you are sincerely thankful for. So be intentional. We can be intentional by starting our day with one thing. Now, anybody can think of one thing to give thanks for. Anybody can think of one thing. It's not a big thing. You can think of one thing to give thanks for. And so you start your morning, you get out of bed, and you go, thanks for, what would it be? Coffee. Thanks for waking up. Thanks for coffee. Thanks. Got a few other things? Let's hear a couple. Thanks for the world. It's going to experience rants. Thanks for the world. We have reasons to give thanks, don't we? So start our day by saying one thing that we're thankful for. And then the next day, add a second thing to it. So write that little one down and then add a second thing to it. And then the day after that, add another one. So you have three things that you're giving thanks for. You're thinking about these things. And we can allow our hearts to get in tune with that. As our list grows, we'll find that thankfulness will become part of our attitude. And as we develop that, as we practice that, it eventually becomes our natural response. Well, why is it important for a believer to give thanks? Aside from honoring God and having the ability to change our hearts and maybe instill some new habits, thankfulness is also healthy. And I come across this article, it was in Psychology Today, and they actually did this study on thankfulness. And so this is a proper research study they gleaned from a number of different studies, and they put together some conclusive evidence that they came up with of the positive effects of thankfulness in a person's life. And these are actual conclusions from various studies. And I've put them together in a little acrostic so that we can think about that as a way to remember it. So the word is thanks. So T-H-A-N-K-S, thanks. And so if we think about thanks, the T, we can think of this. Thankfulness is the track that opens a door to more relationships. Thankfulness is the track that opens a door to more relationships. So in their studies, they found that as people were thankful, others sort of gravitated towards them. People like to be around someone whose glass is half full, isn't it? Like when we go around people, who are we attracted to? What relationships do we enjoy? Well, we enjoy those relationships where there's a little bit of laughter, where there's a little bit of enjoyment. And so we like people who have the glass, they see the glass as half full, not half empty. So thankfulness is the track that opens the door. Well, H, thankfulness improves our health. So health, thankfulness improves our physical health. In studies, they found that people that generally had a more optimistic viewpoint in life, they found that there was less headaches. They found that there was less pain in thankful people. The thankful people, they noticed, didn't go looking farther for pain and calamity. They were sort of happy just with what they were. So whether their pain threshold was higher or whether they just didn't notice it, it came out that physical health, people that practiced thankfulness had less aches and pains. And then they also found that it improves not just physical health, but psychological health. Gratitude or thankfulness reduces emotion toxins that go into the body that cause things like envy and anger and frustration and regret. In fact, thankfulness increases the level of happiness that people have, and it actually decreases depression. So this is an actual study. So simply by putting into practice being thankful for things, working on those things in our life, we can actually decrease the amount of depression that we might experience. And so thankfulness has a big effect on our health. Well, we can also be thankful, because thankfulness reduces aggression. So that's the A. A is for aggression. And it enhances empathy. You know, when we understand when we understand each other better, when we have a bit of empathy one for another, when we, instead of just being aggressive and getting after someone, but we, instead of doing that, we actually say, well, what's going on in your life? Let me in. Let me understand you a little bit more. Thankfulness reduces aggression because we want to be involved in that person's life. We want to care in that person's life. Well, this was a neat one as well for the N, and I call the N nights. So thankful people get a better night's sleep. Thankful people get a better night's sleep. Going to bed with thoughts of thankfulness actually improves the quality and length of sleep that a person has. They studied this. Somebody gave them money, and they studied this. And it increases the quality and length of sleep, whereas anxious people, people that go to bed thinking about all the calamity, maybe it's like after watching the news, and maybe that's the problem. But anxious people, people that go and they're worrying and fretting, what kind of a night's sleep do you get? Not a very good one, because we're actually not seeing God at work in a lot of those things. So expressing thankfulness, things that we are thankful for before we go to sleep, actually gives us a good night's sleep. Well, for the K of thankfulness, thankfulness adds kudos to your life. And they found this as well. Thankfulness improves self-esteem. Being happy for the accomplishments of another rather than resenting it, rather than resenting someone else's success or progress in life and doing that comparing, actually frees a person from bitter feelings that hold them back. And so it actually improves self-esteem because we're not comparing, we're not judging all these other people, but rather we find that there's a freedom from bitter feelings that hold us back. And when we have that freedom from bitter feelings, those are the kudos, those are the attaboys, those are the pats on the back that we need in life. You know what, I don't hold that against that person, good for them. And it's not a barrier to our own emotional health. Well, lastly, the S is of represents sound mind. Thankfulness increases our emotional and mental resolve. And this was a study that they did with post-traumatic stress disorder in combat soldiers. And they found that recognizing all that you have to be thankful for, even when those things are really bad, actually increases and fosters resilience. So it increases our emotional and mental resolve. And it all stems from recognizing the things that you have to be thankful for. Well, this sounds a lot like what the Bible says, doesn't it? It sounds like exactly what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Well, let's bring this home. Thanksgiving is more than just a day out of the year, more than just a time out of the year. It really is an attitude that comes from the heart. So I have a question for you this morning as we wrap up. What do you think would happen if you began to give thanks in all things? Not for all things, but what would happen if you began to look at the circumstances and conditions around you and said, Lord, I am going to give you thanks in these things. In the midst of these things, I'm going to give you thanks. I want to give you a challenge this morning. Whatever circumstance, condition, situation you are facing, I want to challenge you to find two things that you can give thanks for. And this afternoon, as you sit down to have lunch, whether that's with family or friends or on your own, however that might be, I want you to say those things out loud. If there's somebody there to hear, good, get them to share two things as well. What are two things that you can give thanks for today? Sincerely give thanks for. And we always want to say family. We heard that earlier. That's true. That's kind of a given this time of year. Think about two things beyond that. So family is always there. But what are two things beyond that that you are able to give thanks for? And that is a way to begin to develop an attitude of thankfulness that we can take not just on Thanksgiving, but every day of the year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this morning that you gather us together, that you love us, that you care for each one of us individually. Lord, we give you thanks because we come and are able to worship. We thank you for the people that are involved in all of that. Lord, the list can go on and on and on of ways we can give you thanks. But today, Father, we give you thanks simply for your presence, for your Holy Spirit who abides with us, walks with us, and leads us. Father, thank you that you promise never to leave us or forsake us, and by the gift of the Holy Spirit, you accomplish that. So, Lord, we give you thanks this morning in all things. Amen.
Well, we invite you to stand with us as we sing our closing song, and we've asked Nicole to come up, and we'll join her in give thanks that she sang for us before.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks.
Let's bow now for the benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.